With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 481, Aladdin. Is it Aladdin or is it technically Disney's Aladdin?
I think it's just Aladdin.
Yeah. They took their name off of it.
Aladdin 2019, that's what I say.
So I guess before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Brad.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And you can also find us on the interwebs at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And if that's not enough for you, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. $5 a month. Get all sorts of bonus content. And maybe get to be a guest on the show.
Maybe.
That could happen.
Yeah.
And you also, no,
That's about it.
Yeah. I really oversold it. Yeah. I really kind of painted myself into a corner, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to come up with something else. Joe, come over and clean your house.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't even clean my house. No, so like we said previously, there's this week there should be an 89, Batman 89 episode dropping, and then we did a quick review of the new DCEU or DC animated flick, Justice League versus the Final Five or the Fatal Five, which is the return of Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett and some of the original voice cast from the Justice League show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So there, I guess we've done all that. We will now dig into Aladdin. And in honor of Aladdin, Joe's going to sing the entire episode.
Hey!
No,
what is it? I don't look like Dan. What's happening?
Maybe we should start by just where we all landed on it. Like, good, bad, and different.
I mostly liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Yeah.
No, I was not a fan. It had moments.
Yeah.
But overall, this felt like the most soulless cash grab of a remake that they have done so far.
It
more than Dumbo.
Dumbo. Come on.
At least Dumbo had. No, that's probably true. This is on the level of Dumbo.
Yeah, it's better than Dumbo.
It is better than Dumbo.
To me, it was. Aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was the best way to describe
it. I wouldn't say it was bad.
That's where I land.
But like, I think what you're responding to isn't that it was bad as much as it was just like,
I've seen this.
I've seen it better.
Yeah.
There you've added. No, I mean, they did add some things, but
were those from the Broadway play? Or are they for this movie?
I think Speechless is original for the movie and everything else is from the original.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so it was just like, why are we here?
Between the two movies, the animated movie and, well, even throwing in the Broadway play, I would watch both of those again before
absolutely.
This one. Yeah, like, yeah. If I had a choice, I would do those other two first. But
I would agree, and I really don't care for the Broadway play. Like
I liked it.
It was just, like, I saw it on Broadway, and I felt like it was very theme park. And I like Lion King does something different.
Yeah.
You know? And it that like I felt like the adaptation was so slavish
oh, sure.
that it was just like
I'm just like, I get it. I don't really get why we're here.
Right.
Like,
you mean this one or the Broadway one?
The Broadway one. Yeah. Other than because your kids want to see it live. Like, we were taking the kids to New York, and it was like, well, we got to find something that I wanted to see a show on Broadway. And I'm like, but we're taking kids. So we're like, oh, this seems like a pretty safe bet of something you can take a 10-year-old to.
What I remember from the, now that I'm thinking about it, from the show, I saw it here in St. Louis at the Fox. Was I really liked the set piece for the Cave of Wonders. The guy playing the genie was phenomenal and gave me a lot of hope for Will Smith in this, which I think he did a pretty good job.
Man, it's we'll get into it.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. But and then the magic carpet ride on stage as well. I still have no idea how they do it. The way because they show it to you at night and you can imagine there's some kind of device behind him that's like levitating it, and making it work. But then they blow your mind at the end of it when they're on the carpet again with all the lights on. You're like, how is that thing floating? Like,
right.
I walked out of there blown away by the
magic carpet.
Yeah, there are things you can do in theater that like will impress you in a way that a movie won't, because you're just like, well, CGI.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but when you're seeing it in front of you,
which is a huge problem with this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Without question.
Yeah. And so, I enjoyed the stage production of Aladdin. Like, it's fine, but it's like, I feel like when you see the compressed, 40-minute version of Aladdin at Disney World, I don't feel like it's appreciably different, personally.
Oh, like, really? They have like a compressed version of the
movie? Yeah, they have like little stage shows that they do.
Oh,
so you can see
sure.
45-minute version of
Beauty and the Beast at Hollywood.
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Yep.
You know, and so they do Aladdin, and do they still or do they get rid of it?
I don't think. I don't think I've seen Aladdin.
Yeah, I think
Disney
they might have got rid of it, but but yeah, so it's.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, so Aladdin was Disney, the Disney cartoons in the beginning and then at the resurgence, to me, and this is no offense to anybody, like they were girl movies. Like there was nothing as a boy to attach to until this one.
Right.
And so Aladdin.
Well,
so
this
like,
was the second one in the resurgence. It was Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King.
No, I think Beauty and the Beast was before Aladdin. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast was 91 and Aladdin
this
is
like
I think 93.
Is 92. Oh, I thought it
Lion
was
Lion King's 93.
Okay, yeah. So it was Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast.
Kevin
Aladdin,
knows dates. I wish he was here to
Aladdin and then Lion King. I thought Beauty and the Beast was second.
Beauty and the Beast is 90 or 91 and Aladdin's 91 or 92.
Okay. I thought it was the other way around.
So like those two, like, you know, so for me it was like the Black Cauldron or Sword in the Stone or Robin Hood, like those were the ones that I gravitated to.
Yeah.
So, but when Aladdin came out, and you had like, I didn't know Robin Williams, the comedian then.
Sure.
So, but you get his loud voice and you get his insanity and just like what he was doing. And it was just like, yeah, Disney and Aladdin and the genie kicking Jafar's ass. Like I'm in, like,
right.
I need to get the girl. Like, okay, let's do this. So like that, and that movie holds up. Like it's still like, man, when you go back and just watch what Robin Williams is, and it's not even for the quality of the movie, just watching what Robin Williams is doing, not on set, like just with his voice is like, that dude is a genius. Like he'll always be one of the, in my opinion, top five comedic geniuses of all time.
Yeah.
Like that dude's a genius.
I love the fan theory about the original Aladdin that it takes place in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yes.
It's
great.
He makes all these pop culture references from the present day.
Right.
To be like, so he couldn't be doing this 1,000 years ago. Yeah. So therefore,
The bomb went off.
Something really bad.
Yeah, right.
I love that.
So when they announced this, we're coming off Cinderella, Maleficent, which Maleficent was what it was. Like that was kind of their first, not their first, but like their first
like high profile current for it. They had done,
done Dalmatians and
right. Well, there was a live action Jungle Book
by Disney.
It was like direct to video.
Sure.
They did.
I liked it when I was little.
But so like this, we knew that when Maleficent did what it did, and then the Jungle Book did what it did, we're just like, well,
Jungle Book was huge.
This is going to be a
Beauty
thing.
And the Beast
this
was
is
even
the
bigger.
Thing.
Yeah.
This is what they're going to do. And then they announced it. And then there was no announcement with directors or anything. Then it was Guy Ritchie. And you're just like, okay. Well, that makes sense, right? Like, kind of the street rat kid.
Sure.
You know.
That angle of it
That
does.
Angle makes sense where he, you know, trying to con the man, do your thing.
Yeah. And then they're going to have to sing.
Now, the gal that was Jasmine, I have no
great.
Problem.
Well,
it
wasn't the singing was that was the problem.
No.
It was
the arrangement.
It was like, the photographing of the singing that was the problem.
Man, oh, man. And she was in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh,
was she the pink one?
Yep.
Okay. So it's just like, okay, like we kind of bagged on that movie, but like there was, the kids were fine.
Yep.
You know, you get to the end with the Go-Go Power Rangers, which is like, what are we doing? What's happening?
It changes tone completely. Right.
But yeah, like, so they announce it, and then obviously the Will Smith thing happens, and
should have been Kevin Hart.
Should have been Kevin Hart, and and Will Smith, he did what he could do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thankless role.
It really is.
And I don't think he was bad.
No, I was entertained.
But I felt like he was kind of toning his normal act down. Like
I felt like he was toning it up.
See, I felt like it was a little phoned in, and I felt like he was trying to like be somewhat contained or restrained
compared to Robin Williams.
Right. So that's what really killed me. I'm sorry to cut you off.
You know,
was that like Friend Like Me is one of my favorite Disney songs.
Yeah.
And, like I still listen to the original all the time. Not all the time, but at times. And
right.
Just like Be Our Guest was in Beauty and the Beast, like I expected that scene to be this like
right
fantastic, you know. And when it was happening, I was just like, I just couldn't help but feel underwhelmed by it.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like this felt, but so we got Maleficent, we got Jungle Book, we got Cinderella, which Jungle Book and Cinderella back to back, like that's Cinderella flick. Even as like my daughter and wife,
you know,
loved that movie.
We were talking in the last episode, movies that we saw that we've seen for the podcast we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
That's a perfect example
that we really enjoyed. Yeah. Cinderella.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Like that was so well done.
Sure.
And then they did Beauty and the Beast, and now this. And now we've got Lion King, and Lion King looks like the one that's going to, I mean, break the bank.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I think, problem is I think this one will do, this one does not do the damage to the brand that I thought it might have.
Yeah.
But it may do a little bit of damage. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it cut out my favorite song from it, allegedly, so.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they cut out Be Prepared from.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
What this one does is where I think Maleficent and those other ones take that story and work it like a piece of clay, right? So like they take the original idea of that story and they just rework it a lot and, you know, make it work. Like Jungle Book isn't an exact replica of the Jungle Book, or Maleficent isn't an exact replica. You know, Cinderella is, the story's there.
Cinderella is
telling their own thing.
I feel like Cinderella stayed pretty close to the story.
It did, but like they get to like with the scenes where like they're, oh no, wait, was that Into the Woods? Where they're cutting off the stepsister's feet and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's Into the Woods.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I was like, maybe that's not this one. But, like, I felt like that maybe it was just the caliber of people who were involved.
Yeah.
Like, you had Lily James, and you had Richard Madden, and Kenneth Branagh, and I don't remember who played the stepmother. But you had, like, this like, masterclass of people. Hella Bottom Carter was the fairy godmother. Like, it was just this, it was a perfect storm. This one,
Will Smith.
But man, the guy that plays Aladdin sucked.
Yeah.
Like he was so wooden and like,
oh really? I was fine with him.
Oh no, I did not like him at all. Like I did not like him. But it was just like, man, there is nothing to you.
Yeah. I didn't feel anything for him
at all. So this one is basically, if you've seen the cartoon, you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
Like they almost go beat for beat
until the very end.
To the very end.
And they give Jasmine a little more agency.
They do. Yeah, sure. So this one starts with people on a boat, and they are these two kids, which is like, hey, tell us a story. And it turns out that Will Smith is telling them a story. Now, obviously in the original, it's Robin Williams doing the voice
of
this little merchant who's telling you the story. And there's a woman in the background. You can't see her face.
I liked how they handled the wraparound.
I thought the wraparound was great.
I thought it was a nice nod to how they did the original, but they made it different.
Right.
And it was.
And this is like.
And then how they. Because I really liked. I don't know how to say that.
Nassim Parrod?
Yeah.
She was on SNL.
She was on SNL.
She was great. She does an amazing Kim Kardashian impression.
Yeah. And
oh, great.
I like her a lot. And
she's on the
really
New Girl,
good at this.
Wasn't she?
Was
she played not Damon Wayans, the other black guy on that show.
Okay.
She was his girlfriend. Like, she was his FTO when he went to the police academy.
I think I stopped watching by then.
Oh, yeah. So she shows up. She's his FTO.
Okay.
And then they end up becoming a thing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I think I had stopped by then.
It was pretty funny. She's very, it's like a hard ass. And
gotcha.
He's like, not.
Yeah.
So it's very funny. So, like, you get that wraparound, and he starts telling the story of Aladdin, much like in the other one.
Right.
And we jump to Agrabah, and it's, I mean, you'd think that as much as they truncated from the cartoon that this wouldn't be a 2.5 hour movie.
It's yeah. two.
Two, 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 two.
Trust
ten.
Me, it felt yeah. 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't get why it needed to be.
There's no, like, and they take out so much stuff, right? Like, the whole, that whole opening scene in the cartoon is Jafar and the parrot and the
Iago
and this other, like, scumbag. And there's a whole, like, you know, you get the two pieces of the scarab come together and they make the eyeballs and the whole thing pops out. And there's a whole, like, so in this one, it's all visuals.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, bad, bad, boom, he's dead. Now we have to try again.
Yeah.
So, like, they take stuff out and I can't figure out what, like, besides the songs, but, like, they didn't add anything.
Well, they added a song.
Yeah.
I guess that's true, but that doesn't give you a how, you know.
If it goes from 1:30 to 2:10.
I think that climax gets a lot longer. The resolution in Act 3, like, gets a lot more played out.
Maybe.
I think.
Yeah.
Because I feel like and it's been a while since I've seen the cartoon. But,
same here. I'm trying to think.
But that, like, basically, like, once he controls the prince,
right,
then it's like, then he gets really big. And
he does.
And then the genie tricks him. And then
Aladdin tricks him.
Okay. And then, you know, ta-da.
Yeah.
And
phenomenal cosmic powers.
Yeah. And then they're done.
Right.
And I feel like that last part plays out a lot longer. Plus they add in the part that she does.
That's true. That's fair.
And then that's where they put in her big dramatic song.
Right.
Which I believe was called
Speechless.
Not Let It Go.
Oh.
Let It Stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried.
That song wanted to be Let It Go so bad.
Very bad.
Like, so, so bad.
And she, like, here's the thing.
Not the song that it wanted to be. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. They wanted,
sound
they
like
were,
you're saying
they,
the song was bad. And I'm like, no,
no, no.
The song was,
it was, like, what it was.
The song, like the film, was aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
But that, like, I couldn't get past the fact that, like, it so wanted to
she's
be
in blue,
yeah,
like
another teen girl anthem.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Girl power roar.
Right. I wonder if they're going to give, I wonder if, I have to believe that Frozen 2 is going to have songs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely,
mean, there's
right.
There's no way you... Yeah, like, you can't... I mean...
You can't do that.
It was a musical. You can't bring a
song. I guess... Well, they had, like, 5 big songs.
Yeah, because they had...
Let it go. Do you want to be a snowman?
Do you want to be a snowman? Let It Go.
Summer with Olaf.
Well, the song that she sings to her sister...
Do you want
to
build a snowman?
Do you want to build a snowman? Right?
Oh, is that...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
singing through the door.
Yeah.
So I guess they had 3.
Yeah.
3 big ones.
There's a troll song, too.
3 big ones.
Okay.
Yeah. I take it as big ones because my 2-year-old
right.
knows 3.
Them. Yeah. Okay.
Know?
Yeah. I feel like there needs to be a rhythm when songs pop up in movies.
Yeah.
To where, like, if they don't pop up enough, it starts to feel weird that
sure.
they're singing.
Sure.
Like, you know, you kind of forget that it's a musical.
Right.
I think this one comes close to that.
To forgetting that it's a musical?
Yeah, like, if it hadn't... I mean, because honestly, if it hadn't been for that Speechless song, there wouldn't be a song, like, in the last 45 minutes
yeah,
of the movie.
True. Yeah,
like,
Whole
New like
World was in that.
Yeah, but
was it in the last part? I'm trying to remember when it landed.
That's probably, like, right there at the end of the second act.
Yeah.
And then it's off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, and that's what I mean. The animated stuff, all of it. Honestly, you could take these songs out of these live action ones. I don't know why.
You
I mean,
can't do Aladdin without,
yeah, without
the
music. Because that's what
I don't think you need to. That's probably true. I think
yeah.
I feel like in the resurgence of the Disney,
I feel like they handled the songs very well in Jungle Book.
Yeah,
that they were there,
but not like a whole set piece. Set
right,
doing,
they were
know.
Organic and happening. Like, it wasn't like, let's stop down for a musical number. It
right.
was actually
yeah.
kind of occurring.
You sure. get Baloo like just whistling,
just whistling
is
right. like rolling down the
yeah.
river.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah.
Right.
So yeah. So then we jump right into Jasmine in the marketplace and Aladdin. Kind of doing his thing. They do a little. He steals a necklace. A grifter tries to grift him, and
yeah.
he flips it on him. And he steals a necklace and goes very Star Wars. You know, Force Awakens, where he's like, one portion, and that's, you know, he's like, that's worth more than that. He's like, one portion, and he gets his dates. So then the little throwback to the scene with the kids in the first one, where Aladdin realizes these kids are going to eat, so he gives him his loaf of bread. I thought the CGI in this was atrocious for
yeah.
Disney. Like, I was
yeah.
shocked at how bad it was as far as, like, Raja the Tiger or even Abu. The genie didn't like. I can forgive the genie because
what does a realistic genie look like?
Exactly. Yeah, like totally. I can totally forgive.
But
anything.
We know what a tiger's look like.
There were times
it doesn't look like that.
We've been to the zoo.
Guess what? There's a whole movie about lions coming out in like a month,
and you nailed it.
And you nailed it.
Or Jungle Book, even
Jungle Book. Yeah, I mean that's the whole. It's just like woo. Wow. All right.
I thought the genie's face was inconsistent in blue form too. When the CGI of like Will Smith on it,
yeah.
There were times where it looked okay, like Will Smith in makeup, and then there were times where I'm looking at him like, what did they do? Like it was just.
Well, I think someone because they like made him buff.
Isn't he that big? I mean, obviously
he's not that big. Because when you see him when he's just
I
Will
guess
Smith,
that's true. Yeah.
He's not built like that.
I guess he.
I'm not saying he's not in shape.
No.
But he's not.
Do you
like,
remember like there was that time where he was looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I think when he was doing like Bad Boys 2.
And Ali?
Yeah.
Maybe he bulked up for that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but you got to.
That's a long
time. Sure. Play Ali.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like I'm not saying the dude's not in shape, but he's not in CGI genie shape.
No. Sure. Right. Aladdin gives his dates to a couple of kids on the ground, and Apu kind of, again, like, puts it under his hat. So they get the character of Abu, right? And he sees the princess. We deal with that little situation. We get the switcheroo where she, you know, isn't, she lies to him. Where it's just, and then when, like, she gets mad at him for lying to her, I was like, I mean, in all fairness,
you
lied to him first. Like he saved your ass, and then you straight up lied to him. Okay, so yeah, so then she ends up, you know, going back to the past. It's, you know, it's basically beat for beat.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of deviation. There, I mean, the dialogue is almost verbatim from the original one, which I think is a big problem.
Yeah,
like it and look, I am a Guy Ritchie apologist.
The dialogue's verbatim, I think, except for. The genie's dialogue. Like I feel like
that's
you know,
true.
Like they I think they made a point to use different jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So
because you didn't even get like, you know, 1,000 years in the lamp would give you such a crick in the neck. Like
yeah,
you know,
none
like,
of it.
Yeah. So like I feel like they made a point to have the jokes be different.
Which is
smart, I think.
It is.
But it's also difficult because if the jokes are going to be different, then they need to be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's tough, right? Like you can't.
And those jokes are so much a figment of his personality.
Exactly.
Like they're tied to his delivery style.
Right.
You can't just, a lot of those jokes, if you just read them, they're not funny. Like there are jokes that are like well-written jokes that you can read a joke and you can see the craftsmanship in that joke. And you're like, that's a cleverly constructed wordplay or idea. And that's funny. And you know, Robin Williams, and honestly, like I'm not a huge Robin Williams fan.
Oh really?
I mean, he's done things I really liked, but
you mean like as a comedian or as an actor?
I like him better as an actor, as a comedian.
Okay.
I never thought he was that funny as a stand-up comic.
Oh, man.
I felt like
that night at the Met.
I listened to him. I'm like, there are no jokes here. It's all style over substance to me. Like it's and
you're wrong, but it's
yeah. And like I, you know, because it's like if you were to write that out and read it, you would not.
It's a stream of consciousness,
but you wouldn't laugh. They're not jokes,
right? Like, I guess it's him.
Yeah, and it's so much of what people respond to with him is his delivery and his force of personality, and that's a skill set too. Like I'm not trying to take that away from him. It just didn't work for me. And I grew up on Mork and Mindy, and I loved Mork and Mindy. But when he was doing that shtick on Mork and Mindy, there were joke writers that were putting jokes in his mouth. Now he was adding a lot to that on the fly, like not to take away from what he did on that show.
Right.
But when you would just go straight to stand up, like I felt like I mean, I'm not saying the guy never had a joke on stage, but like so many of the laughs were just kind of his personality, and so. And I found that frustrating.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I much more respond to, like, you know, from a contemporary standpoint, like a Steve Martin.
I get that. I totally get that.
Those are funny.
Yeah.
You know,
he's another one.
He's a great joke writer.
Yeah.
And came up as a joke writer before he developed his own stage act. But, like, I think if they had just tried to take a lot of those jokes and put them in Will Smith's mouth, they wouldn't work. And they're hard to repeat without impersonating him. It's you know, another comedian who I think has a similar issue is like, if you're like
Dane Cook
is all about its personality over jokes, and
he just did a podcast. It's interesting, like I was there
right
when that thing took off,
right?
Yeah.
And I was with it for a very long time.
Yeah.
and then he fell off the rails a little bit. He did some movies that weren't all that great, but he just did a podcast with Tom Segura and
Christine, Your Mom's House.
Your Mom's House.
Yep.
And it's like you're listening to him talk, and you're like, damn, dude, like maybe I should give you another shot. Like he's just telling his story. Like he's like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you got up there, everybody was shitting on you and they're trying to bring you down. And it worked.
Right.
Like, my parents died.
Yeah.
Like,
his brother stole
all of his money.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like his brother he's like his half brother. And he was in charge of his finances. And he was like, I went to go buy a house I was moving to LA and I was transferring the power of attorney basically to this other guy, and his brother kept balking at it. And then once they were figuring out, they're like, dude, your money's gone.
Right.
All of it is gone.
Yep.
And it's just like, when you hear that story, you're like, oh God dang it. Like you were kind of, I thought you were, maybe you weren't a douche. Maybe you had some serious stuff going on. It just came through. But yeah.
Dane Cook, I felt like I would listen to Dane Cook and I'm like, well, that's the cadence of a joke.
Right.
But
he's a story. That's that storytelling.
Yeah. But there's not a joke. Like you said it in the like, and then this happened, you know, but there was no actual joke there. But yeah. So, like you couldn't just pick those up and hand them off to Will Smith and have them work. Oh, I was going to say that, Woody Allen.
Sure.
I've been in a couple Woody Allen plays, and it's really difficult to read. And Woody Allen plays, the comedies that he's written, there's always a character that's very clearly supposed to be Woody Allen.
Right.
And so
he's the Stephen King of comedy.
Yeah. And so it's very difficult to read that stuff and not impersonate Woody Allen. Like, it's really difficult.
That makes sense.
You
yeah.
know, because he's got such a unique voice. And if you've seen any of his movies, you know exactly how he talks.
Yep.
And then you see a joke that he wrote to come out of his own mouth. Right. And it's hard.
That's what Kevin Smith said.
Yeah. It's really hard to not just imitate Woody Allen.
Yeah. That whole Randall character. He's like, I wrote that for me.
Yeah.
And then I realized there's a lot of words in this script.
Yeah.
What can I do? Oh, I'll be the guy that doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. But yeah, so then, I mean, we're basically, it's weird because it does move at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
But it takes forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, you know, so they go to the palace and then Aladdin steals Jasmine's bracelet. You know, he's going to give it back.
Okay, the first
deal. He's going to give it back. And then he realizes that Abu had kind of taken it and hidden it. And then so he looks like a jerk in front of Jasmine. And Jasmine's like, of course, you're a scumbag. And I was like, bitch, you lied to this guy the entire time. And now you're making him go back to the castle with you. OK, right on.
Yeah.
So he has to sneak back into the castle. And this is where Iago sees. It's a shame that that Gilbert Godfrey got himself into the trouble that he did.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's a great. So Gilbert Godfrey, he's the voice of the Affleck duck.
Yeah.
Do you
know? No, I know who Gilbert.
Initially I thought it could have been Alan Tudyk. Like, that's usually my go-to.
Yeah.
As far as like weird voices, I'm like, that's Alan Tudyk. That's who it is. But it's just, he got himself into some trouble a while. Like, this is pre like saying something dumb on the internet.
Yeah.
You know. And then he got himself, and then he got kicked off Affleck, and it was big.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he said something kind of dumb. I don't remember if he was doing like a stand-up act. Like Kramer did, or if it was like on like Stern or any. Either way, he got himself into trouble.
Yeah,
and got kicked off the whole shebang.
Okay,
so Iago kind of sees Aladdin jumping through the palace,
right?
And like, I kind of liked the idea of Aladdin as like the free runner, and I was like, give me more of that.
Yeah,
where he's jumping from building to building, and
that's where Guy Ritchie knows what he's doing, and it works.
Yeah,
Gilbert Godfrey also made a 9/11 joke.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Okay, and a stand up act.
I think, did he tweet it maybe?
Was Twitter a thing then?
Well, he's had a couple brushes. So he made a 9/11 joke at like a celebrity roast, but he made it like a month after 9/11.
Oh.
And like he took a lot of heat, but since then people kind of came around and were like, oh, he was the first guy to kind of make a public 9/11 joke.
Sure.
But he did something, but that was, I think, pre-Affleck Duck. And then
he said something and it tanked his career.
I have no idea.
I mean, you know, he still gets the sweet Disney residuals from being Iago. But yeah, so like Iago sees him and he's, you know, Jafar.
Hang on, I found it. Oh, but nope, I'm mistaken. I was merging controversies. he made jokes about the tsunami that hit Japan.
Okay.
Whoops.
And
We far enough removed from it that we can make that joke.
I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by.
Oh my god!
And like that's the joke, right? Like it's like so horribly offensive. All you can do is laugh. Oh. Like that's. But yeah, after 3 weeks after 9/11, he made light of the tragedy at a Friars Club roast for Playboy founder Hugh Hefner.
Okay,
he said that he had tried to catch a plane but couldn't get a direct flight because they said they had to. They have to stop off at the Empire State Building.
Oh, Jesus.
Like that's his shtick.
But it is his shtick. Yeah, yeah, he was. Like, he was like a less funny Don Rickles.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think Gilbert Gottfried's funny, but like, but again, you go in knowing like that. That's what he does.
You're also at a Friars roast.
Yeah,
so you better be prepared.
And the whole point
blue
of
humor.
A Friars roast,
yeah,
is that they. Comedians are dark.
Yes.
Yeah. And
that comes from a dark place.
Right. Yeah. And so the whole point, the reason that they created the Friars Club was so a group of comedians could get around and say the most atrociously offensive things to each other. And nobody would get mad because they all know.
They
it's
know
like
score.
The Friars Club is like the Continental. For
it
comedians.
Really is. Yeah.
It's
yeah. Like nothing is off limits.
You can say you can make a joke about anything you want.
Right.
And nobody's allowed to get mad.
There's
you know?
So just this is the only trip into Wrestling Corner. They were supposed to do the roast of Ric Flair this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, of all the wrestlers that you can roast, I want to be in the room for the roast of the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, because holy guacamole. Somebody's got some stories on that guy that could probably put him in jail for the rest of his life. Unfortunately, he had a heart procedure and they couldn't do it. So it didn't happen.
Gotcha.
Because he's Ric Flair, and apparently you can't kill that sumbitch. knock on wood. That dude, I'm going to get that out there, make sure nothing happened.
Some health trouble.
He was, like, yeah. He just had a heart surgery.
Ago, yeah.
So, you know. Again, it follows the same beats.
Yeah.
He goes back to the palace. He sneaks in. Iago sees him. And then, like, super sexy Jafar, where I'm just like, can we get, like, old man Jafar? Like, yeah. All right. Same deal. Actually, I was trying to figure out who played the Sultan. And it's the guy from Men in Black 3 that they're trying to keep safe. Like, the guy with the weird thing on the back of his head. But, like, you'd recognize this guy. But it took me forever to recognize him. Until they took his hat off, like the Sultan garb. Yeah. Once they took that off, you could see his face, and I was like, "Oh man, I know this guy!" Like
yeah.
I knew him from somewhere.
There were a couple angles at the end of the movie during that big scene with Jafar taking over. That like I know that it wasn't, but I thought he looked like Joaquin Phoenix.
No, you're absolutely right. There was a moment where I was like. Joaquin Phoenix would pull some stuff like this.
Yeah.
Where he, like,
just show up.
Yeah. He's like, I'm the Sultan today. They're like, okay. You know, he took a day off of filming Joker. And he's like, I'm going to get my feet wet in this Disney movie. But if you see this actor outside of the makeup, he looks like he could be a Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird because River doesn't. Like, if you look at the Phoenix siblings.
They look a lot different.
They
like,
do look
Joaquin
a lot different.
River.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, River Phoenix. Gone too soon.
Yeah.
That dude would have been a massive star.
He would have been.
Leo owes River Phoenix's career. No joke.
I just read an article the other day. He was talking about how he never met River Phoenix, but he wanted to because he was such a huge fan, and that he ran into him at like a party and he went to shake his hand and somebody walked in front of him and then he's like, and then he just like disappeared like a vision.
Oh, man.
And then River Phoenix left the party
and went to the Viper room
it was that night.
Oh
yeah.
He like, honestly, if you ever go back and like the young Indiana Jones or Stand By Me, My Own Private Idaho or something else that he was, but like, if you look at that dude, you can see, he would have been, DiCaprio legitimately owes this guy his career because if River Phoenix had lived, you may have never. Well, I mean, you would have heard of DiCaprio, but we'd have seen River Phoenix in Django. I guarantee you that. So Jafar captures Aladdin and they do the whole thing where he, you know, takes him to the Cave of Wonders. Of course, Abu touches the wrong thing and everything comes crashing down. This is where you get the introduction of Will Smith as the genie, and you're right, like I can forgive the CG for this because it's just like, what does a genie look like,
right?
It not Barbara Eden.
Yeah,
that's pretty good on my part.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Nice old timey reference. Yeah.
can we do a CG Barbara Eden to bring her back for this movie? That'd be fantastic. Does the whole friend like me that's a Will Smith version of Friend Like Me, which isn't
lifeless.
Totally lifeless.
It's completely underwhelmed
for a guy who's such a good rapper.
Yeah,
He cannot sing. But then,
in Arabian Nights at the beginning too. Yeah, I was like, if this is what we're in for with the singing, like,
But it was so weird because I'm like, oh man, this dude can't sing. But then I'm like, but neither could Robin Williams.
Neither could Robin Williams.
Yeah, but he made it work. Like,
yeah,
I still love that
song. Weird. Like in the beginning when he's doing Arabian Nights, I could accept that as like just a dad singing to his kids.
Yeah.
You know, like sure. he doesn't have the perfect voice, but he's, you know, you're singing to your kids. Like I do that all the time with the youngest. Like I totally understand.
But you wouldn't sing for us?
No, you're not. I'm not trying to put you. I'm not currently trying to put you to sleep.
Well, you're not trying.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening.
Yes. Yeah. You are succeeding.
So like I can accept that one.
Sure.
But when they start getting into Friend Like Me, it's just like, you got to turn this up, bro.
I could accept that at the beginning, but then when it segues into what's clearly supposed to be a produced musical version of that song, then
it falls apart.
It falls apart. Yeah, but when it's just him on the boat, like, I'm like, okay.
I can do that. I deal
get
with that.
That
for sure.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he becomes the prince. You know, he gets the. It's weird because they, you know, in the beginning, like Aladdin tricks the genie into getting him out. But in this one, I was like, did he really trick the genie? Like, I don't, like, he kind of did, but kind of didn't. Because, like, they're saying that Abu kind of took the lamp and
he hands the lamp to Abu behind his back. And the genie thought he was rubbing the lamp when he wished to get out of the cave. But he didn't actually rub the lamp.
Yeah. You did that on your own.
Yeah.
which is kind of my favorite bit of that whole, of the original.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I feel sheepish, and just walks away. So they go, and he's like, can you make me a prince, obviously? And
I like this.
I did enjoy this as well. Yeah, I liked them. Like, this is one of the few times that I got the guy that was Aladdin.
This and the jams.
Yeah. like he does have moments where he's like, I'm into the, okay.
Yeah, like when they were, it's like when they created new situations and put them into it.
Right.
Then, you know.
Right.
But like the whole, the jams thing when he's,
we're coming up on.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So he's like, can you make me a prince? And he was like, you need to, there's a gray area there.
Yeah.
Like, you need to,
yeah,
like,
you see
make
my
you,
palace.
But
you,
I feel but like you can tell the distance. But it's also nice because it's like, it serves the story, even though it's a funny joke, because it shows you the genie already likes him.
Right.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have to give him tips.
Which we see, like we see him later with Jafar.
Right.
Where he's just like,
he didn't give him any
poof,
tips.
What do you need? Right.
He's just like, okay,
sure.
I'm going to do this in the stupidest way possible.
Yeah, right. And so in this one, he's just like, yeah, I can make, he's like, what about this guy over here? He's like, whoa. He's like, yeah, I like the guy who I think was Will Smith. Like, it sounded like Will Smith in the background,
yeah,
where he's just like, hey, have you seen my castle? Like,
no,
like,
no,
I want to go home.
Can I go home now?
Did you see the carpet was building the Disney castle? I thought that was really neat.
So then so he's got the magic carpet. He's got, you know, it's interesting. I wonder if they could not animate the elephant. So they're just like, just turn him back into the monkey. we don't have enough budget for keeping him as the elephant the entire time.
They've got budget if they want it.
Right, right. So he becomes, you know, Prince Ali, and they do the whole shebang. And then, again, another completely soulless version of Prince Ali. Like, this was not...
I didn't like it when they previewed it on Twitter. They showed maybe 30 seconds of it before the movie came out. And I was like, man, I'm not digging the arrangements, like, or how they're doing it. But and Kevin will agree that I think it's probably the best bit in the movie, at least musical number-wise.
I think both of those things can be true, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But they do this weird thing with the dancing where they like speed it up.
They did do that.
And
right?
I thought, is Yakety Sax from Aladdin? Like, what are we doing? and so it was weird. And they did it just enough to where I was like, are they doing it? And they were.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they do it more in that final music moment. And honestly, when they commit to it and they do it like, to where it's blatantly obvious they're doing it.
Right.
I liked it better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but it was when they were doing it just enough to where I'm like, do they mean to do that?
Are they popping and locking?
It's tricking my brain. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but.
And it was, I didn't like this either. Like, it just felt like, I was like, ugh. All right, we're just
going
to do
this.
Yeah, and not even too much because this movie needs to be too much.
And this whole scene is supposed to be too much.
Yeah.
That's the entire point. It's just like he's kicking down the door and making a grand entrance
right.
to the ridiculously nth degree. And I felt like they did that, but it still somehow didn't feel that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's exactly how I felt. Like, they, the colors are there, and
you know what they should have done is in the same
shown the animated movie
in the same way that that Marvel has like the director of the film who
sure.
handles all the parts
where
they talk.
Yeah,
and then they've got the action guys, and and they're like, don't worry, indie filmmaker who's never made an action movie. We're not going to let you anywhere near that stuff anyway. Sure. Just worry about the talky parts.
Right.
And
I totally agree.
Keep it interesting. We've got the action part covered.
Don't worry about it.
And they should have done that, but with musical numbers. And they should have brought in a big-name Bollywood director, because it's clearly the look they were
going for. That's what the movie should have been.
And I think that would have been delightful. And they should have let Guy Ritchie do the street rat stuff and let this musical person handle all the big-ass musical numbers.
I totally agree.
And I think you would have had a much, much better film.
And I'm a Guy Ritchie apologist. Like, I love...
I've never really cared. I don't know that he's ever made a movie that I walked out of that I was like, oh my god, I really love that.
I love Lockstock.
Nope.
I love
Snatch.
Yeah. Nope. Rock and Rolla.
Nope.
what was the one? There's another one.
There's one a couple of years ago that didn't.
No,
well,
I like the Sherlock movies.
Yeah.
The first half of the first one I liked okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw.
Hey, that wasn't a nope.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a nope.
And the second one, nope.
Yeah. I never saw Swept Away because it said starring Madonna. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
But there is the theory of thought that it's not Guy Ritchie, that it's Matthew Vaughn is the whatever panache he had is Matthew Vaughn rather than him. And obviously, you know, Matthew Vaughn did Stardust, which is a fun little, not little, got some budget behind it.
Yeah.
But he did like Kingsman, and he did Layer Cake, and he did
Kick Ass.
Yeah. And I think he did X-Men First Class is him as well. So
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Like that's a good flick. One of the few good ones in that franchise. So the there's a theory of thought that maybe it's not Guy Ritchie. Maybe it's Matthew Vaughn. So they do the whole thing. He shows up. He cannot catch his tongue around Jasmine, like he just can't find the train of thought to talk to her.
And this is a funny scene where he's trying to come up with all the things he's going to do to impress her, and he just keeps digging a hole.
Yeah, he's like, so you think you're here to buy me? And he's like, yeah, wait, no.
I like when Will Smith is like, I spent 1,000 years in a lamp, and I would prefer it to this.
This is when I liked Will Smith. Like, when he's doing the Will Smith thing.
When it becomes Hitch.
Yes, I thought the exact same thing. And I was like, okay, and I like
that's
Hitch. Hitch is a good movie. But yeah, like when he was just like, when he's talking under his breath, and he was like, oh man, you are swinging and missing. Like, this is rough. Like, I liked that version.
Yeah.
Where, like, I feel like Robin Williams genie is not snarky, where I feel like the Will Smith genie could have been, like, very snarky but still very endearing. Yeah, so the whole thing happens, and then they do the whole new world, and do you trust me, obviously. And, like, this is the weird Clark Kent Superman thing where Aladdin kind of says, he's like, she's going to recognize me. He's like, nah, man, like a genie magic.
Yeah.
She won't even I'm like, dude, you were like up in her face. Like that. I think she might know who you are. And then finally it was the whole, you know, do you trust me?
Yeah.
And, you know, the he took his glasses off basically.
and she drops a line about
his curl pop down. They're like, oh yeah, of course you're Aladdin. And then this is where he lies to her. And it's just like, we know how this is going to go, dude. Like, just tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. So Jafar kind of thinks there's something up about this guy. They're not breaking the mold here, man. Like, it's the same movie.
Yeah.
The only difference is, and we're just, because, you know, everybody knows how Aladdin ends. This one does end differently. The entire time, Jasmine has, in the original movie, they definitely make her the damsel in distress. There are a few times where she is taking a power role. And kind of like talking garbage on Jafar. And she's like, when I'm in charge, I'm going to get rid of you. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
This one.
And that was pretty forward thinking.
It was.
Its day.
Yeah. In like 93, 92.
It's another example of not taking a movie in historical context. If people look back and they're like, oh, but she was just a damsel in distress. And you're not necessarily wrong.
Right.
But those elements that you see there. That was a major step forward for
her taking
for a Disney princess.
Sure.
back then.
Yeah, they weren't. She wasn't. I mean, she does rely on Aladdin almost the entire movie.
Yeah.
But she does also have moments of like, I'm going to be in control and right. I'm going to end your life. Like, that's basically what I'm going yeah. to do.
And was she the first Disney princess of color?
Probably.
I think
she
so?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we don't get an African-American princess until Tiana.
Right. And then you get
Mulan.
Mulan's after. Pocahontas is after.
Yep.
Not long after, but yeah.
Isn't that weird after. That the voice of John Smith is Mel Gibson in that movie?
Yeah.
The person that you'd want the most to be, you know, the guy who's destroying a culture and taking a person of, you know, a Native yeah. American away from her family.
Who was probably 12 in real life.
Oh, man, that's right.
Yeah.
That's very true, yeah.
Woo.
Mel Gibson, just knock it out of the park. So, yeah, like I said, this movie does not deviate almost at all. She does get her own, like, her own, because Jasmine doesn't have her own song in, so they give her an opportunity to sing. Yeah. And this gal can, like, if this is her, like, she kills
the
song.
This song is just,
again, yeah. Let It Go part deux.
Yeah,
like they want it so bad. I found her the most charismatic out of everybody.
Yeah, I
like,
liked her.
I was
a lot.
Definitely
yeah, I
drawn
liked her.
To watching her more.
Yeah.
So yeah. So then they do the whole thing where Jafar takes over and he, you know, has the, you know, phenomenal cosmic power. The switch, however, is the entire time Jasmine has been saying like, "Why do I need a husband? Why can't I just be the Sultan?"
Yeah.
And she has a moment. When the palace guards have, you know, obviously the Jafar is the new Sultan and they're starting to follow the Sultan.
And she talks the palace guards who are forced to follow the new Sultan right. into not following the new Sultan.
And
which I thought was a good moment.
She, yeah. I think yeah. it's a great line where she's just like, you and I have grown up together. Like, you know, like who he is, who my father is, blah, blah,
right.
blah. Who you got to make a choice. And of course, all of the guards turn on Jafar and join Jasmine and re-up their loyalty to the Sultan. And then Jafar's like,
the real Sultan.
The real Sultan, yeah. Jafar's like, F this. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody to the dungeon.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Well, that's fair. You're the most powerful sorcerer in the world. I get it. And then, you know, again, Aladdin tricks Jafar into becoming a genie. They don't actually call him a genie, which they do in the other one. Like, he plays on Jafar's insecurities about
right.
being
yeah,
the
most
less
powerful being.
Right, right,
say,
yeah.
yeah.
So the genie, again, this is the gray area where he's like, maybe the most powerful being in the world or in
right.
the universe or whatever. And I do like where he's like, there's a little gray area there,
yeah.
but you got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he turns.
Which I didn't like, because I was like, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, you
sure.
don't need to spoon feed it to us.
Right.
Even though it's a kid's movie, then let the kid figure out organically.
Then, which
you
is
know?
What we would rather have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I didn't like that one. That, I didn't
the
care the
gray
for that
area
part.
Thing.
Yeah, like yeah. it's like, yeah, like I said, we get it.
yeah, sure. We're with you. Yeah, so then they, you know, they does the whole Jafar turns red and he's, you know, just like Will Smith, except red.
And bigger.
Bigger, yeah, exactly. And then as he's about ready to destroy Agrabah, I guess.
Something, yeah.
whatever. He, you know, gets the wristbands and they get the phenomenal cosmic power,
sure.
itty bitty living space.
Yeah. I'm glad they included that line.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a very good line.
yeah.
Will Smith genie kind of picks him up. He's like, you know, 10,000 years in the Cave of Wonders will chill you out, and he flicks him and then flies into the thing. Again,
I was entertained.
Man, I got to tell you though, like, that's the thing though, is this is just a rehash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I get it from a creativity standpoint. Like, I don't know. I mean, it very much looks like Disney's just wanting to make more money on properties
sure,
they already own.
Sure.
And I get the argument that, like, let the creative teams make some new properties. You know, that's what Disney's been doing for years.
I don't even mind the new properties. But when you look at The Jungle Book or Cinderella, like, they're not telling that story beat for beat from the original source material.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're getting to that that story is there, but they're just getting to it in their own way. And I don't think they can, you can't change The Lion King all that much.
No.
But I don't know what that's going to be.
Right.
So, and I
feel
don't
like
know.
The empowerment for women, like with Jasmine's character in this is maybe what compelled them to, I mean, and I think they're going to do with all these animated movies. But like, I feel like giving it more of a purpose by giving Jasmine a bigger role in
sure.
this and you know is very important to
I totally
to
agree
making the remake making these. So
I think Maleficent did that. Maleficent doubled down on how she's not the bad guy. Like, they, I think they retcon it where she was like trying to protect Beauty, right? Or Aurora. Isn't that kind of what that was? Is that like they?
It's been a while, and I didn't care for it. But
I didn't either. But they become like.
But I did like the fact that it was a reimagining,
yeah,
not just a remake.
Yeah, which that, and I appreciate that. And obviously, Aladdin and the Lion King, the Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, those are hard to reimagine,
right? Yeah.
I totally accept that, but you can at least put your own creative spin on it,
sure.
And maybe this is the Guy Ritchie thing. Like maybe he doesn't have I don't know. Like maybe he doesn't have a creative bone in his body. Maybe he got. Maybe his world is that rated R grifter. That's where he needs to stay. I don't know, because he's been doing work for hire since Sherlock,
right?
And sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. This one doesn't, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So the genie, you know, they kick out Jafar. Everybody comes back, and
you know, so he uses his last wish.
To free the genie.
To free the genie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always wondered, why is it his last wish?
What do you mean?
Okay, well, if you rub the lamp and free the genie.
Okay.
Right? And so now
you're right.
Now he's got three wishes. He uses two of them.
Yep.
Right? But then Jafar gets the lamp.
I totally agree.
So that should reset your lamp ownership.
It should.
Shouldn't it?
I think it should. Right, so Jafar used his two,
right, and then
I guess he used three,
and then
Aladdin gets the lamp back
and releases the genie.
I thought the same thing.
So it
I was
should
like,
start
it should just
over.
Reset.
He should get three.
You technically could get like unlimited wishes because
would
like,
you
hey,
be able
back.
Just to exploit that by giving it back and forth to your friends? Like,
but see, you could, but I also don't think
one of those gray areas. He talks about.
I don't think it would typically work because that's one of the things he talks about is like. When he's like, oh, you're going to drink from that well.
Which I like that line, too.
Yeah, that it's like most people wouldn't give it back. They would, they'd become power mad.
Right, right. But I guess once you use your three, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't keep no wishing for more wishes. And I was kind of hoping they would do, like when he says, I can't bring people back from the dead. I was like, oh, man, can we get like some really weird, creepy CG? No, we'll just get a mummy.
Yeah.
Crap. All right. So they, the Aladdin apologizes. He's like, look, I messed up. I'm really sorry. I'll get out of your hair. So he goes to the genie. And I do like this line, too, where the genie's like, look, man, here's the rule right here. All you gotta do is say, I wish for that rule to go away. Poof. Gone.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you can do that? And he was like, yeah, dude, I can do that. And he was like, no, man, like, I wish you. And of course, we should say that there has been a romantic relationship budding between the genie and
Dahlia.
Princess Jazz Dahlia.
Yeah.
And I do like where she doesn't
know he's a genie.
She does what she sees. Yeah, right.
It's his human
right.
form.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, when he's like released as the genie, she figures it out.
Yeah, she was like, hey, man, like, you could have granted me wishes.
Yeah. But her love for him was not
based on the human form.
Right.
Yeah. So he kind of Aladdin wishes him free. He turns back into Will Smith. It's kind of a good line where I do like this where Aladdin just pimps away. Like he walks out the castle. He's just kind of like, man, we're on our own. Like, it's all good.
Back to where we started.
Back to where we started. And I do like that she goes after him.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't fall. Like she doesn't accept, she doesn't accept his apology right away. And she allows it. Like he leaves on his own and she chases after him, but.
She goes after him.
Yeah. Instead of like being the damsel in distress who just like accepts whatever.
Right.
She's like, I dig you. Let's do this thing. And they do that thing. There are times when people on film have chemistry. You know, I honestly think Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst in that first Spider-Man movie, like it's crackling. And, and it helps that they were a couple in real life, this one, I felt nothing.
Right.
I thought it was manufactured as F. Like, there's no passion when they kiss each other. Like, there's just, like, I feel like it's that obligatory, like, end of the first date kiss, which is like, I don't really want to do this again, but nah. Get out of here.
You've had a lot of those.
Tell me about it. I can't handle the nerdiness. That's what I tell myself. So that's a struggle because when you can... I don't know if the voice actors were in the same room when they were recording their stuff. It feels like they may have had to have been given like some of the quick dialogue that goes back and forth between the two. But like you can even in the animated form, you can feel like the connection between Aladdin and Jasmine. And this one, I was just like, nope, There's nothing here.
I will agree. There wasn't much chemistry
at all. And I think you need that.
Yeah.
You need that between these two characters.
There was great chemistry in Booksmart. Not sexual.
But a friendship.
Like, yeah. But like you felt you could, you believe
what was the,
that they're friends, you know?
What was the Ben Foster, Chris Pine one? Hell or High Water.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could feel that.
Yeah.
Like, between like those two dudes who were like brothers, or even Jeff Bridges and his partner.
Right.
You know, you could feel that connection between the two. And this one, there's nothing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing. So then, you know, the big switch is that rather than, I guess, Aladdin becoming the Sultan, which I guess is what happens in the cartoon or the movie.
Yeah.
Jasmine becomes the Sultan, and she's the new ruler of Agrabah, and she does away with the rule that allows Aladdin and her to be together. And that's kind of how the movie ends. It's a shame because
it ends with the final framing sequence where you realize that the Will Smith, the storyteller, is the genie.
Right.
It's just now he's freed.
Yeah.
And then
they have the two kids.
The handmaid is his wife now. And
it's weird. Like when they first show that opening scene, her voice, I thought she sounded like Jasmine, like from the cartoon. And I was like, that would be a interesting like little nod if they got that actress to come back and like be in the movie. They didn't. They couldn't get the guy that does Aladdin's voice either, because that's Steve from Full House. Like that, you're not bringing the white guy into Agrabah. Yeah, that's not going to work. But yeah, so then the last framing sequence is, I guess, the wedding of Aladdin and Jasmine, or of Genie and Dahlia. And this is the problem, is I feel like they wanted to go Bollywood, and this movie should have gone full Bollywood when they get into the musical acts. So, and again, like it just felt like somebody copying what they saw in a Bollywood movie one time.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. Like there's a whole musical number at the end of this and it just does not work at all.
No. And this is where they do the speeding up.
Yeah.
You know, overtly speeding things up. Yeah, and I liked it better, but
it just,
and I felt like they were really, trying to create, a moment where when the movie ends, you applaud.
Yeah, that's true.
Like
that's
even added their own applause.
Yes, and everybody just kind of sat there. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And it, like, you know, I saw this late at night.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I work overnight, so that doesn't really bother me. But I didn't see it with a big crowd. I think it was like 10 people in the theater, which I was like, that's impressive for 11:30 at night
for a kid's movie.
Yeah, right. But there was no response at the end. Everybody just kind of got up and left.
Right.
And it just this did not work for me at all. Like I did not. There were bits and pieces that I did enjoy, but overall, it felt very manufactured. It felt very corporate. I know I've used that term a lot, but you know what I mean when I say that. And it just didn't. There was nothing for me to hold on to. As coming, if they had done something different and not just taken the old script and try to rework it, then maybe I'd have a different feeling about it. But
yeah, like I said, it was aggressively mediocre. Like it was fine
ish,
you know. Like I
the most aggressively mediocre response to this movie.
Like I, you know, like, it wasn't the complete turd burger I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, but, that's fair.
I think that's why I enjoyed it. And Kevin told me when we were chatting about it on Friday morning, because I saw it Thursday. He's like, it's because the bar was so low that this is probably why you think you enjoyed it so much. I did, but like I at the same time was like there were parts that I didn't like, and you know, I was like the editing during one jump with the slow motion
that we talked about speeding up,
and it's like that's just weird and out of place. And when during that song Speechless, when she's coming down the stairs, like she's out of frame, they couldn't keep her in frame when she's coming down the stairs in that big moment, and I was like, whoa, I'm missing half her head while she's singing there, you know, like, and just catching on little things like that. And but I walked out of there knowing that like if I ever had the choice again, I'm just gonna watch the original.
That's the thing, it's still there.
I don't see any reason to like the live action Jungle Book. It has a reason to exist creatively other than the original. And honestly, I would probably prefer to watch the live action version
than the
original.
I don't disagree at all.
Yeah, but Jungle Book's
like,
a lesser property.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like it's not the classic on the level of Aladdin. But yeah, like I can't imagine ever sitting down
to watch this one.
To watch this.
Yeah.
I would always feel like, well, why am I watching this when there's the animated one? I don't feel that way about live action Jungle Book, live action action Cinderella, or even live action Beauty and the Beast. Like
I never saw that.
I still think the cartoon is clearly better.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But I can see why someone would want to watch the live action version.
Yeah,
not to the exclusion of the original, but you know, but in this case, I can't ever imagine being like, oh, I'll choose the live action version over the cartoon.
No,
for Aladdin.
Yeah, no, yeah. It'll never
100%.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's like I said, I think Guy Ritchie on paper was the right guy to do this, and it just didn't. I don't know if there's the studio was like, nope, you're going to do it this way. This is the way we're going to do it. I don't know what that process is like with these. Obviously, with Marvel and Star Wars, they're kind of just like, cool.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to do that studio interference and it failed. And yeah. They just kind of let the reins of the creators come back. And obviously, Star Wars, we'll see what happens.
At the rate that they want to pump these out, like I would think, based on how Jungle Book did and how they're estimating Lion King to do, and of course what Jon Favreau started with Iron Man.
Sure.
Just have Favreau do all of these.
I gotta tell you, man, like that dude gets it. Like he's got his fingers in every pie, right?
Yeah.
So he's the Marvel exec producer. He's Jungle Book and Lion King is him, and then he's doing The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. So it's like this, I think they did. They're just like, how much time you got? Like, let's just, here's all your stuff. You go do your stuff. You want to do a sequel to Zathuria? Cool.
Yeah.
You got it, buddy.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, like that's an underrated movie.
It
like
is,
I stumbled across, I was homesick one day and it was like airing on like TNT or something,
right?
And I was just like, whatever. And by the end, I was like, well, that's really
that's
good,
pretty fun.
I did not expect that to have the emotional resonance that it did at the end.
Sure. Like, it was like a pseudo sequel to Jumanji, right?
Yeah.
I worked at Movie Gallery, and that was always flying off the shelves. I never got the chance to watch it, but people were always like, yeah, it's just like Jumanji. If you like Jumanji, you're gonna like this. And never made the time, but I remember it being really popular in the
John
rental.
Favreau gets it, man.
Yeah,
he knows how to make himself a movie.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. We can go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content. You help us out some. And, maybe get to be on the show.
Maybe.
So I guess that's it for this week. Coming up next week, it will be busy. I have a feeling we will tackle multiple movies next week.
I think that we might.
Because you got Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic, not the Kim Jong-un biopic. And then Maw is coming out.
And Godzilla.
And Godzilla. And as we mentioned, was it the beginning of this one or the last one?
The last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
As we mentioned in the last episode, our Godzilla episode might be a little delayed by a weekish. Or so, but we've got big things in store for the Godzilla episode.
Godzilla's coming on the show.
So, yes, Godzilla. Give it away. Give it away. We couldn't get a big name like Godzilla.
That's true.
Gotta be Mothra.
I do have an inflatable Godzilla costume, if you want.
We got Rodan.
Yeah. So,
whoever the knockoff, the turtle one was. Yeah. Gohedra or something. I don't know.
So, but we have big plans for Godzilla. So you might have to wait a week or so for that one. But we promise you it will be more than worth the wait.
Yes.
So trust us on this one. So that's it for this one. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Iago kills Jafar.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.